Thanks for staying with us on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan, and we're speaking to Muhammad Faizal Abdul Aziz, the president of the Muslim Youth Movements of Malaysia, or ABIM, Angkatan Belia Islam Malaysia, which just celebrated their 49th anniversary last week on the 6th of August. Faizal, just before the break, you mentioned that you wanted to, have a more inclusive approach.
Yeah.
The new leadership, the ABIM going forward, wants to have this more inclusive approach. And I wanted to ask you about engaging those who hold different views to ABIM on either side. So how do you do that? How are you engaging those who hold different views from what ABIM says it espouses?
Basically, we do some engagement with certain projects. For example, school intervention program. ABIM together with certain organisations like Dong Zong, even Tamil Foundation, we establish a concrete to foster the relationship between ABIM schools and also Chinese and even Indian, Tamil school. So that's mainly by projects. We also do some engagement based on the issues. For example, on the issues of refugees. Now we are living in this kind of xenophobic rhetoric. Of course, we can't afford to work in silo. So we do engagement with human rights group, human rights defenders, even with even the non-Muslim activists who are fighting for the refugees. And moving long forward, we also do some engagement in terms of how do we share the data, how do we share certain resources that we can get benefit together to build this country together.
And it's very interesting because we're living at a time where the country is very divided politically, and we had that power shift in 2018, and then we've had this reversal this year. You know, in terms of a message that you give to your, because you say you're not a political organization, and you kind of straddle both, I think, in many ways, right? So tell us, what is it that you want your constituents, your members to be focused on in times of political crisis as we are going through now?
For us now, all of us have known that we are in the process of a toxic political scenario, which leads to political fatigue, not only among ABIM members, but also among the whole society. And for us, it is now for ABIM to emerge, to produce the new leaders. For us, now, Malaysian, we are no longer in need of politicians, but we need leader. It is all about leadership. Who are those leaders? Leaders who can produce alternative to this kind of toxic political scenario. Structural reform, for example, to put an end to this political turmoil, for instance. So we do need leader. So in terms of ABIM movement, what we are trying to do is to serve the community, to provide alternative, even though we are not politically oriented, but at least we need to give more enlightenment to the people to voice out, to have better alternative in the future, especially when it comes to politics decision making process.
You know, youth is central to your name, right? Central to the cause, Angkatan Belia, right?
Yeah, yes.
So there's been a lot of talk about the voices of youth not being heard today, that it is dominated, the political scene is dominated by boomers,
yes,
and forgetting the issues that youth are actually facing in today's world.
Yeah.
How is ABIM looking to amplify the voices that are not being heard of young Malaysians?
Yeah, for me, of course, we need to produce more young leaders, young leaders in politics as well. But at the end of the day, what kind of young leaders that we need? You yourself, as young leaders, you have to prove that you depart from the old cycle.
Right.
That you will not replicate the same political behavior.
So not just young leaders, but old ways.
Yes.
Right? New ways, young ways.
And I do believe, I'm very optimistic, if you as young leaders, if you can show to the public the alternative, the practical solution, that you definitely will depart from the old cycle, the so-called political animal behavior or whatsoever by George Orwell. I'm very optimistic, people, with you.
Why? What is your optimism? What is the source of your optimism, Faisal? Is it a personal one? Is it because the organization is built on this idea that people can change? Where does this optimism come from? People are very pessimistic, by the way.
But people want solution. That's it. I'm very optimistic. People want solution. People no longer want those who are riding on the racial sentiments, like what we said just now, xenophobic rhetoric or religious sentiments. But we want what solution that can you put on the table. So if you manage to outline the solution way forward, as I said, even though there are certain pessimistic argument about that, I'm really optimistic because at the end of the day, I trust the wisdom of the people.
That's a fascinating one. Very quickly, what is the hardest sell for you? What is the argument that's most difficult for you to make to your audience in convincing them about pluralism, about solidarity across ethnic
inclusion
and religious?
Mm.
What is the hardest argument to make?
Yeah, the hardest argument, for instance, when we had Bangsa Malaysia conference, of course, it is not hardest for us to explain among other members, but among the general public, due to these sentiments of right-wing populism, not only in Malaysia, but of course across the world, in India, in UK, even in US, this kind of the hardest thing that we need to explain. We need to give explanation. So, for instance, when we talk about the Article 153, the affirmative action, we must note that affirmative action is something that empowering one race. But it doesn't mean that you are disempowering other races. So in this case, you have to make it clear that Article 153, in implementing the Article 153 or affirmative action, the principles of equity applies. So equity in terms of growth, economic growth. Otherwise, it will create another injustice, for instance. So this kind of things, you need to give more explanation. And that's why sometimes ABIM sounds esoteric, because we quite philosophical in terms of giving explanation. If I may share as well, what was written by Syed Hussein Al-Attas in his book, The Myth of Lazy Native. It is very important, though it sounds esoteric, but The Myth of Lazy Native was written by Syed Hussein Al-Attas to counter or to debunk the propaganda propagated by a colonial, saying that the native in Malaya, Indonesia, Philippines are lazy, they are not assertive, they are dependent too much on colonial in bringing development and so on. And unfortunately, this kind of ideology being embedded by UMNO during the 1970s, where through a book released, the name of Revolusi Mental, and it was critically criticized by Syed Hussein Al-Attas. So in order to justify the affirmative action, which creates another culture of patronage, which creates another the feudalistic approach in terms of ruling this country, it is something cannot be tolerated because it will create another injustice, as I say, and it will undermine the Malays itself. So these kind of the things that we need to give more explanation to the Malays. Yes, of course, the poor Malay need to be helped, but it is not to the extent that you are downgrading yourself.
Right. Faisal, we could continue talking to you for a lot longer, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have on this episode of Considers. Thank you so much for being on the show, and congratulations to ABIM on its 49th anniversary.
Thank you.
I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.